So sometime back, it was a phone call, text, I don't know what it was, but I heard from Greg in Montana. And they had, Montana had received some news, and it wasn't good news. And so we began to pray. And as we prayed, God was working. And we felt like it was important for us as a church to hear their story and their journey. Here's my heart. My heart for us as a church is that we as a church are not just a church that would pray, but we are a church, we're a praying church. That's just what we do. I have this vision, I have this desire that we are so comfortable with praying that we'll do it at a drop of a hat. That if we're out there having a cookie, that it's just become second nature. When you hear somebody going through something, you just say, I'll pray for you right now. Can I pray for you? And that we do that. That as we offer times of prayer, that there's not an embarrassment of coming forward. That it's just what we do. Like, yeah, I'd love to be prayed for and prayed with. And I believe in the power of prayer. And I believe that as a church, that as we believe in the power of prayer, because it's not really the power of prayer, it is the power of God in prayer. He is the active agent in that. And I also want to say this, is that we're going to talk about a miracle today, because a miracle has taken place. Literally, there has been a healing. But I also want you to know this, that if you sit here as a child of God, you sit here as a miracle. Every time someone cries out to God for salvation, a miracle takes place. Salvation is one of the most beautiful miracles that we will ever see on this earth. And so I want us to know that. And I also want us to know that there are times that we all have prayed for someone who has had cancer, who has been in an accident, who has fallen ill to something, and they have not been healed. And it doesn't mean that God has not heard us. It doesn't mean that God is not working. It means that the reality is that we are never meant to live here on this earth forever. And one day we will all come to that place of taking our last breath, and we'll step out of time and into eternity. But I do believe that God does heal. He heals today. So I want to ask Montana and Greg to come up. Kind of with that, I have two mics. The person who sits here gets the wired one, and the person who sits here gets the handheld. All right, there we go. And I'm just going to turn this on for you. Good. Super. Great. Greg and Montana, welcome.
Thank you.
Not nervous?
Very nervous.
Very nervous. Sorry, you're so nervous you're not using the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it on?
Oh. Yeah, we're on. So as Greg and Montana were, there we go, as Greg and Montana were coming kind of at the other end of what God has done, in my heart I was praying, Lord, I'd love if they could and would share this sometime in church. And that was where my prayer was. I didn't say anything to you. I was just praying, Lord, it would be great, because I think that we all need to hear this. And then Montana says, I think God wants us to share. And it's kind of crazy, because I don't, but I think he does. And so they're being obedient. This is obedience up here. They would rather be somewhere back there than right here. And I thought that what would be good is for you, is this an opportunity for you to know Greg and Montana. You've been here since when? Use a mic.
December.
Okay. So you've been here for a while, but you're still newbies, as I am. We thought that would be great for people to get to know you a little bit. And where we wanted to start was your story of how God took you from one place to another, took you from not walking with him to walking with him. So who's going to go first?
I got it.
For everything.
Okay, great.
So yeah, thanks for allowing us to be up here. It is terrifying to me, but Chloe, you did such a good job. Thanks for sharing that. So I grew up not far from here in Nanaimo, and I grew up in a good home, but definitely not a Christian home. There was no talk of God, Jesus, any religious talk at all. I do remember one time, I think it was, I asked my dad, and I said, "Well, tell me about this Jesus person, or what's this God?" Because there was people in my school that seemed bright and happy, and they invited me places, but I never really went, and he just said, "Oh, we're not religious. Religion's a way of controlling people." And I kind of left there like, oh, okay, fair enough. So the majority of my energy and time was spent with my friends and hockey, and I played hockey. I put a lot of my thoughts and I guess my passion was hockey. And I always did pretty well with that and played at pretty high levels, ended up playing a little bit of junior hockey, and that came to a kind of an abrupt end. And when it did, I just had this emptiness in me. And I filled the emptiness with drinking and partying. And if anybody has themselves gone down that road or knows people that have, my story is not different in the sense that in a handful of years, what started out as fun and was, I thought was filling emptiness in me, it was, well, I know now that I was trying to fill the God-shaped hole in my heart. Is that water getting loose? But it progressed really quickly, and it took me to a really dark place. And I won't get into the whole story, but if you do know anybody who's struggled with addiction or alcoholism or anything of that nature, that's my story. So in a short handful of years, I reached a really low bottom, and God's grace is so, I'm just so grateful for God's grace, because Montana grew up, her dad took her to AA meetings because he's been sober for over 50 years now. And so she grew up in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, which hopefully most people are familiar with what that is. But if you're not, it's based on Christian principles. It's a 12-step program that basically introduces you to a higher power. And more than anything, I guess, it teaches you repentance, teaches you forgiveness, shows you God's grace. So anyways, I ended up, after just a handful of years of my drinking and partying, I ended up in the rooms of AA, which I can't tell you how disappointed I was in myself that I ended up there. But it's funny how God works, because my worst decisions in my life led me into those rooms, which introduced me to the concept of God. And the healing that started taking place, I can't even describe on a soul level. And then we started going to church, and that's when things just really took off for us in our faith. And we've been baptized in 2018.
I wanted to share this one.
Sure.
Hey. So yeah, so I think that's in a nutshell, that's my testimony. And now over the last 10, 11 years, we are so grateful because we base all of our decisions in prayer. Like, we really turn to God in everything in our lives. And our lives today are, if you could see me at my worst, you wouldn't want me in this church. I would be ashamed. I wouldn't have walked in the doors of the church. Because there was so much shame, there was so much pain, there was so much regret and remorse, and God has brought such beauty out of that, and I'm so grateful. Today our life is not even, you wouldn't be able to tell that that's where it came from, so yeah, that's my testimony, I guess.
Yeah, and so for me, I did grow up in a Christian home until my parents divorced when I was four. So I'd heard about God. I had dedicated myself to God every time there was an opportunity because I thought I would burn in hell if I didn't. So I really didn't know who God was or a relationship with God. It was just a, you need to do all these things, otherwise you'll burn in hell. And then I made mistakes in my life, sinned, and my options were, okay, believe you're going to burn in hell or just don't believe in it anymore. So I stopped going to church and I lived worldly. I didn't know who God was. It's like saying, and you would hear in church, just love God more than anything. Just put him at the top. And you're like, that's like saying love that person I've never met before more than anything and put him above everything else. Like, it just seemed like impossible. I didn't know how to get to the point where I knew God and loved him. But God was always there in my life, even when I have this picture in my mind, that Goodness of God song where all my life you've been so good. And I guess I was also in the same lifestyle, the party lifestyle, the men lifestyle, the all the things you don't want your children doing lifestyle. And I remember like walking home at 2 a.m., 14 years old, super drunk, 20 below, looking up at the stars and just feeling like there was something that loved me and didn't know what it was. But then fast forward to I met Greg at a party. And I'd had lots of boyfriends, and I heard God's voice say, that's your husband. And okay, so we started.
I guess if I have to. Yes.
So we started going to churches, various churches, Buddhist churches.
Wait. Okay, just back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think part of in this story.
Yeah.
You guys got together.
Yeah.
Moved in together, and were together for 5 years.
Oh yes, but this was still when we were. Yeah.
Oh, so still when you were kind of dating, we were just dating.
Okay, we would drink, and then we would stay up all night talking about how we thought maybe God existed.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day, we'd go check out a different church.
Okay.
Of various forms, like all different types. And then we would just leave when we didn't like what we heard. It was really bad. It was, in hindsight, you wouldn't want us here. Anyways.
I don't know if you caught that. If they thought that the message was that bad, they'd just get up and leave.
Yes. And we would come after worship, and we would leave early because we didn't want anyone talking to us. Because we ended up living together, and we were living together, not married, and we didn't want anyone to judge us. So we would just leave. Anyways, then we ended up finding a church, and we just felt like we were supposed to be there. We both left being like, this feels right. And those people there in Prince George, they just loved us and played hockey with Greg. And we just started to learn who God was. Like, we started turning to him, you know, instead of the 10th option, bad things would be happening. And we started trying this whole praying to God thing, and it would work. And so then it moved up from the 10th option to the 9th option to the 8th. To now it's like our first or second option when something bad or good happens is we turn to God. And now I can actually say I do love him because he's been there for me and he's taken me from that to this. Like, there's no question in my mind that God exists, because if you saw us before and the only thing we changed was God, and now we're happily married, we have two wonderful kids, I'm a physician, he's an occupational therapist, we don't party, we're happy. And the only changing factor was God, pursuing a relationship with him. And he met us hungover at church, which was amazing.
Amazing.
So God's real. He's real.
Yeah. So there's this continual growth. You know, you come to a place of great darkness, and I think, Montana, you looked at Greg and said, listen, you got to get your act together because this is not working.
Oh, yeah, he had to stop drinking first.
Yeah, you got to stop drinking. I went to AA with my dad. You should try it out.
Yeah.
So that's what you did, and you begin to pursue this higher power. And for you, was it not Montana at the beginning? It was like, okay, I believe in this Jesus dude, and I believe he didn't sin, but I'm not really into this dying thing. Is that right?
Yeah, I hated Easter. I thought it was a fairy tale. I just, it didn't make sense to me. And now it's my favorite part.
Yeah. So coming from that stranger to knowing who he is. So your daughter Talia comes along, and you two make a commitment to do something.
Yeah, when we got married. Oh, sorry, you're supposed to go first.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. So when we got married, we committed to doing a marriage retreat. That's what you're.
That's what.
Yes.
Yeah.
So every year we do our best to get away. We're supposed to get away for a weekend, but now with kids, it's more like a day. And we spend the entire time in prayer and asking for God's direction and guidance in all major. We kind of follow a workbook, and we just go through all the major areas of our life, and we ask for guidance, and we try our best to be obedient to that. And it's something we turn to multiple times throughout the year to go, am I on track? Okay, what did God want for us this year? And then it's kind of serves as a reference point. So yeah, we've been very committed to doing that each year.
Literally everything, like how often are we going to work? Where are we going to work? Who are we going to pour into? Are we going to have another child? Should we have a child? What's the focus of this year? And it's often not what we want to hear. I want to hear, you get to go work full-time, Montana, and Greg gets to stay home with the kids. That's what I would like to hear. And that's not what God says. Said.
Thankfully.
Okay, so this year you do your retreat, your day retreat, and what are some things that you hear, and what are some of the things you guys talk about?
Yeah, so this year, things were going particularly good, I feel like, and so we did the marriage retreat, and one of the big things on our heart was we took parental leave when our son was born, and we were thinking it was my turn to transition back into work, and I was pretty excited for that, and so that was one of the main things we were praying about, and we both spent time in prayer. We came out of it and we're like, I don't think I'm supposed to go back to work right now. And yeah, which is not what I wanted to hear. I love my kids. They're fantastic, but it's a lot of work, and work is easier in this season. But I actually had this weird feeling that I need to ask Pastor Scott if there's anything around the church behind the scenes that needs to be done. And I really didn't want to do that, if I'm honest. I really wanted to go back to work, and I really just wanted to focus on me, which is my default selfishness and self-centeredness. But yeah, that was, and Montana got the exact same thing in prayer, which I can't explain other than God. And when that happens, we go, okay, your will, not ours, be done. Let's move forward. And sure enough, Pastor Scott did have some work at the church that needed to be done or could be done. And so I will share that what to me is so cool about that is I can't see around the corner. I don't know what's up ahead. And life was really good. We actually approached Pastor Scott being like, life is so good. We feel so blessed right now. And can we give back in some way? But God knew what was coming. He knew there was a storm ahead that we've never been through anything like what we have gone through in the last few months. And I believe he wanted us planted in this church and more planted than we would normally be. And ready and able to focus on getting through that storm. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think one of the things that, so you did come, and it's interesting because it was like a few days before that, it was like, oh, we really need somebody to be able to kind of take care of the grounds here, right? Kind of keep back the weeds. And so Greg says, yeah, I can do that, which is really great. But there was more in that, and you know, one of the things you were wrestling with is, are we going to have any more kids or not? And kind of coming to the place of going, okay, no more kids. And so with no more kids, it was your turn to act, Greg, and and go see a doctor. And what was happening with that?
Yeah, so yes, absolutely. We prayed and we felt very relieved that we weren't supposed to, we didn't feel called that we were going to have more kids. So it was my turn finally to take some charge in the family planning department. So I make the doctor's appointment. I'm not feeling great about it, but okay, set the appointment. I'm going to have this procedure done. And as every big decision, we turn to prayer. And as the date's getting closer, I turn to prayer. And I just feel this uneasiness, like, I shouldn't be getting this done. I shouldn't do this. And so I turn to Montana, and I express that to her. And she goes, basically, she says, man up, it's your turn. Did you see what I've gone through? And I did. I'm amazed at what Montana's done for our family. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll man up. That sounds good. But as the date approaches, I'm continuing to pray, continuing to feel this uneasiness on my heart that I can't shake. And my sister calls and says, we're moving to Victoria. These are the dates. And I left that. And I was like, Montana, I feel like we need to be there to kind of catch her and support her and help her family transition. We turn to prayer. God says, yes, we should be there to support. So,
which I was not in support of before prayer because in this relationship, it's anyways. To cancel a medical procedure to babysit, that would not, anyways. I said no, and then Greg said, pray about it, and then I prayed, and I said, fine.
That's exactly how that went. We're very honest. So we rescheduled, and I was very relieved, and pushed it back a few weeks. And again, as the date's approaching, I'm praying and I'm like, I just don't feel easy about this. I gotta talk to Montana. Talk to her again. She meets me with the same response. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna man up and I'm gonna do this. And sorry about using that language. I'm just gonna rise to the occasion and do what needs to be done. And our son gets really sick and ends up in the hospital for 2 days. And right at the time that I was supposed to get the surgery. So I had to cancel, push it back another few weeks. Same thing, rinse and repeat. And the date's approaching, I'm praying, I'm feeling really like I shouldn't be doing this. And again, talk to Montana, same response, so I'm gonna do it. And then our daughter, we get a call from BC Children's and they say she had a surgery, like a not life-threatening surgery that was supposed to be booked within the next 2 years. A date opened up, so it was right on the date of when I was supposed to get my surgery. So clearly, I feel God's closing doors. We push it back a few weeks. And what I love about this part of the story is that I actually, the whole time I was wrestling with what is God trying to communicate? And I was turning into prayer, like, are you trying to tell me we need to have another child? Please not. That sounds really bad, but I'm tired and selfish. But I didn't feel peace around that. I didn't feel like that's what God wanted. So then I was like, is this against our religion? Should I not be doing this? Like, is this just not a thing to do? And I didn't really get a clear answer. And ultimately what ended up happening is the fourth time I actually went through the surgery. But so that door closed. But what I love about God and his grace and his mercy is just because we closed a door and I couldn't discern what he was trying to communicate, he found another way to communicate what needed to be communicated. So
yeah, so then I was 8 months postpartum now. I hadn't seen my midwife since 6 weeks postpartum, where she had sent a referral for an IUD for me, just in case his procedure didn't go through or whatever. And I never heard back from that referral. As you know, that I'm sure you've been part of the healthcare system, things can fall through the cracks. And I really liked my midwife, and I told her, if you ever need anything, you can text me, I'll help you. And so at 8 months, she texts me, Greg had had the procedure, and she says, hey, you said you would help me, can you help me in this situation? And I had texted out, so I helped her, and I had 3 times texted out, hey, I never got called about that IUD. Like, I never got the call from the gynecologist's office, but then I deleted it because I don't need it anymore, so why would I have it? And I just had this feeling like you should say that, and I texted it out 3 times. I ended up sending it, and she was sitting next to the gynecologist I was referred to when she got the text. And, oh, that should have been sent. It must have been lost. She'll get you in right away. So I got booked with the gynecologist for something I don't really need. It might help in other ways, but not really. Didn't need it. And the day before my appointment, I called to cancel because I don't want it. I I don't want a painful procedure. I have a baby. I wanted to go exercise. I don't want to bring my baby with me. And the receptionist, she pushed back, which doesn't happen in healthcare right now. They usually say, great, we'll fill your appointment with someone else. And she said, are you sure you don't want to come? Like, you could come later today when your husband could take the baby. It's like, oh, okay, fine. And I went, and she found cervical cancer. And that wouldn't have been found until, I've always had normal PAPS exams my whole life. It never would have been found until at least 14 months later. And she found it. And so now it makes sense why God didn't want Greg to get a vasectomy, so that I would go see the gynecologist so that it would be found. Yeah.
So, wow, that's a big blow, right? And yeah. So there's a few steps to go through when you get cervical cancer. You go through and you have surgery, and you being a doctor kind of gives you a little bit of an inside ability to be able to talk to doctors, and you know some of these doctors, and so you go in for your first surgery, and tell us a little bit about that, because you were hoping Greg would be able to come in with you, and he wasn't, and so yeah, what kind of happened with that?
Yeah, so the first, I was a bit annoyed because you would tell people and they'd be like, oh, it'll be fine. But I know that if you can already see cervical cancer with your eyes, that it's already more advanced. It's a microscopic cancer, and she saw it just with her naked eye. So, and it typically gets worse the deeper it goes. And so my first procedure was to see how deep it was. And everyone I had talked to was like, oh, it'll be fine. It's probably just a nothing. And I'm like, yeah, sure, okay, you don't understand. But okay, yeah, maybe. And to be honest, our faith is weakest, probably where we have the most knowledge. We're both in healthcare. So I was very honest with God and Pastor Scott that I don't know if I believed in health miracles. Like, you just pray and God cures you. Like, I know Jesus did.
Yeah, Montana, I said to her, hey, there's a group of us pray on Monday. Would you be willing to want to come and pray? And we would pray over you. And she said, yes, I'll do that. And she walked in. And that was one of the first things she says, is that I'm a doctor and I believe God does all kinds of things. But one thing I don't really hold on to is that God does health miracles.
Yes.
And you can pray for me for that.
Yeah, I'd love to be proved wrong.
Right.
That's what I was praying. Prove me wrong. And so I go into this procedure, and it's uncomfortable, obviously, if you're female or no female. It's all in there, and with a microscope, and you don't get put to sleep, and there's burning, and there's cutting, and they just use local freezing. And I was reassured that my husband would be there for me. Surely they know me. They would let him come in and hold my hand. So I had friends offer, oh, do you want me to prescribe you Ativan before? And I said, no, I don't need it. Greg will be there. He'll hold my hand. And I go in, and he's not allowed to come in. So it's just me feeling very vulnerable. And my my mother-in-law, who's not Christian, she had bought me this bracelet a year prior. She felt called that she should buy it for me. And I wore it, and it said, God is with her. She will not fail. It's very subtle. You can't really read it. And I was laying on that table, and it's not a comfortable situation. And I was like, well, I'll give it a try. I said, Jesus, like, take me away from here. And instantly, I felt like, I'm not over-exaggerating, like, high, like, really out of there high. Like, someone had given me drugs, and I said to them, like, is there something in the freezing? Like, I feel, like, physiologically sedated. And she said, no. And I was like, oh, well, there must be. I'm going to go home. And, well, I couldn't really think, but I'll tell you after. So I was high, and I couldn't hear anything. And the nurse was saying something, I don't know what. And I said, great, I'm high, just get it done. Don't stop. Don't put me in a corner and then bring me back when I'm not high. Maybe I'm just about to pass out. Just do it. And I heard nothing but the nurse grab my wrist and say, oh, what does this say? God is within her. She will not fail. And that's all I remember in that whole thing. until I started freaking out because I wanted to read between the lines and ask the specialist what she saw and how advanced it was. And I was like, oh crap, if I pass out and I'm too high, she's just going to put me in a corner, move on with the next patient. I won't get to ask her all my questions. And the moment she stopped cutting, it stopped. Like I was 100% there. And so a big fear I had was chemo, radiation, being sick, vomiting when you have little kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And after that, I was like, well, I'm going to be fine. Like, because even if I need chemo and radiation, God's going to be with me. And she's done. I'm not high anymore. I thought it was the ingredients. I went home that night, looked in my medical textbooks, where's the side effect of this freezing? I got the name of the freezing and the ingredients. And it's not a side effect at all listed that this should happen. And I'm talking to her, and she says, yeah, there's a lot more than I thought. I couldn't get it all. But maybe it's just precancerous, all the other stuff. Maybe it's just precancerous. It's like, well, what would you guess? She said, I would prepare to go to Victoria, which meant prepare for chemo and radiation and a much bigger surgery. And then...
So she walked out.
Oh. Yeah, so there was a little bit of commotion. I actually snuck my way close to the door. I got as close as I could eventually over time. And all I could see is nurses kind of checking, and they were talking about something. There was a little bit of commotion. I was sitting there. I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? So I was praying, and I was praying for God's peace, and that's all I could do. And she came out, and she was very happy. But before Montana actually came out, the doctor came out and told me, delivered the news, and she was like, it's a lot more than we expected. And yeah, prepare yourself for a bit of a long journey ahead. And I was like, what? That's not the news I was expecting or hoping for or praying for. But then Montana came out and she was smiling. She's like, I had a health miracle. And I was like, what? Did you hear what they said? But anyways, yeah, she was so relieved that God gave the peace that transcends understanding during that, and I'm so grateful.
So they take the sample, they send it in, and you've got to wait now to see what comes back. And everybody's telling you that this is not good. It's probably, or you're really suspecting that it's gone further than you think. But we're praying, and we're asking God to do something here. And you come to a place where you find yourself crying out to God. And maybe just share a little bit about that and then share about the results that came from that.
Sure. Yeah, so it was more advanced, and I have a lot of knowledge of that. So now we're looking at 50 to 60% 5-year survival for me. And I'm 33, and I didn't think it was a question whether or not I would see my kids grow up. So there's this fear that... we put so much energy into Talia. She's just 4 now. She's finally going to remember things, and all she's going to remember is me being sick, and my son won't even remember me. Like, there's a 50% chance of that. Like, that's pretty crazy. Like, this is not what should happen with the most preventable cancer, and I'm a doctor, and I know that God will be with me. I know I will go to heaven. I know now that I'll be comforted throughout all my treatments. But I'm really just not okay with not seeing my kids grow up. And so I go on my knees and I say, God, like, I know you could do this. I know maybe it would be better for your kingdom if I suffer more and go through chemo and radiation and people see your beauty in it and I end up in heaven and who knows what your plan is. I know it's good, but you could also just heal me right now. Like, you could just... stop this. Like, you could just right now in the jar, you could change that tissue to be not cancerous, and you could make it that I don't have to go down that path. And please, like, please just do that. Like, I would please. And I know there's wonderful Christians that we all die, right? It doesn't mean, but he said, okay. And yeah. He did. So I got the results back 10 days later. That was the worst 10 days of our lives, like working, still taking care of kids. You can't just like go cry and watch Netflix for 2 days. You gotta like keep going. And all that other stuff that they saw, it wasn't even precancerous. It was just nothing. It was just nothing.
It was nothing.
Good.
Yeah. So God hears your prayers, and you look at it as a doctor, and you go, that's a miracle. Like, God healed what they saw there. And then you have to go for a second surgery. Now they're going to do a hysterectomy, and so you go in for that surgery. And when you came out of that surgery, what did they tell you?
Yeah, so I had a fear that I would come out because this type of cancer can skip, so you can have cancer, normal tissue, cancer higher up. So, you know, it's these peaks and valleys. There's moments where you're like, no, God's got this, I'm good, like, he healed me. And then there's like, no, I'm going to die, and this is awful. And maybe, you know, like, it's this battle, and being in prayer is what kept me close to God. But there was definitely moments where I did not have much faith. And yeah, so when I came out of the surgery, they told me they saw something higher up. They weren't sure what. Abnormal blood vessels. We'll know in 2 weeks if it is more, if it's not. And then I kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to not get on that roller coaster. And just, he healed me, and I'm just not going to entertain what is a possibility that there was more higher up. And yeah, it came back that also was just nothing.
Yeah, wow. So, yeah, there's been a roller coaster for you, hasn't it? Up and down. But it's also been a strong faith journey. It's brought you into a closer relationship with him to see what God has been doing. And being able to hang on to him and know that he's got this. Whether you got the news that it was cancer had advanced or not, he is still with you, and he's got this, right? I asked if there is a verse or two that kind of has stuck with you. I don't know, Greg, did you want to say anything more?
Well, yeah, I wanted to thank, there's many people in the church that were praying for us, and we got to be part of a few Monday nights, and I can't express enough gratitude for the prayers that we received. The roller coaster we were on was extremely real and terrifying, and there was this peace that came throughout all the prayers, and I genuinely felt, and I know it sounds kind of weird, but I felt like I felt God moving in all of it. I felt a sense of peace amongst the chaos, like a peace in the storm, when I would allow myself to open up to that. And yeah, I just thank you, everyone that was praying for us through that time. But I will say also, from my perspective, Montana has so many colleagues and friends in the field, so she was reviewing all of the results every step of the way, and cannot stress enough, everybody that she was consulting with was like, no, this is not good. When they go in and they see the tissue, they know that it's cancerous or not, and they can tell, like, they have a eyepiece, like a microscope. And anyway, so, yeah, it's, whatever was there, God completely healed, and it's just amazing. And we hope that these words bring glory to him, and, yeah, that's what I wanted to add to that.
Good. The other verse.
Yes. So there was moments, I got the diagnosis and would go to work, like, right after, and there was moments where I would just want to, like, rip my body apart, or had plans. My dad and my husband are going to go to that hospital in Victoria and demand that they read those results sooner than 10 days because I can't handle this. And then the verse that kept coming to me over and over was, be still and know that I'm God.
Yeah.
Over and over.
The verse that kept coming to me was the exact same, actually. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for sharing his story in your life and what he has done, is doing, and will do. And really, my heart is that I wanted this for you to know that this is what God has done. And I believe in prayer. I believe in prayer. And there is a small group of us that meet on Monday nights for prayer. And if anybody has a heart for prayer and wants to join us, you're welcome to. We just pray. We come and we pray. And I want to see more of that here in the church. You're welcome to talk more with Greg in Montana. Their story is still going on. And I hope what you see is not two people up here that are got it all together. Because they will tell you they don't, but God's got them together, and he keeps them together, and that is the story here. So let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for Greg and Montana. Thank you, Lord, that what they have experienced and what they have gone through is not about them, not about how good they have been, and that you have done something for them and to them because of their goodness. But Lord, it's because you are good, and that you have a plan, and that you heard their cry, and you answered. Father, thank you that we can give you glory for the healing. Lord, we pray that this healing that has happened will ripple forth and will multiply in its fruit, not just in Greg and Montana's life, but other professionals that hear the story, for others in their community and their family members. Father, we pray for this healing to reap great fruit for your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, you can.